Dear Lord, as we gather this evening to hear your word, we pray that your spirit, who is the spirit of truth, the spirit of life, the spirit of healing, will touch our hearts with your word and inflame our hearts afresh with love, with joy, with faith, with confidence in you. We ask for the intercession of Mary of the Cross, as we join with her to give praise and honour to God at St. Benedict's this evening. Thank you. I've only once been out in a lake in a storm, and that was some years ago, in fact, a long, long time ago. I had a friend who was helping me renovate my house in O'Connor, and on a Saturday he invited me to try my hand at sailboarding on Lake Burley Griffith. So it was a beautiful spring afternoon, quite warm, and I had the sailboard there. He showed me how to sort of manoeuvre it, and so I sort of managed to get out into the middle of the lake. And as I got nearer the middle of the lake, I could see up towards the southwest big dark clouds coming across, and the wind started to pick up, and the water started getting very rough, and then it started to hail. And so I was hiding under the sail of this sailboard, trying to protect myself from the hail that was coming down. The temperature sort of dropped down to about minus something. I was starting to get hypothermia, and thinking this is the end. My friend called the police, the water police, who came and rescued me like sort of a dead rat out of the water, and asked me if I'd like a cigarette. So that was my experience of being caught in a storm in the lake. So I can sort of sympathise with the apostles that they too were in a boat, except theirs were at night time, which would be a little bit more daunting, I think. And they were there in a tremendous storm that was threatening to overwhelm them. And in the midst of this situation, which was beyond them, they see an image or a figure of someone walking across the water. And not something they would have seen very often, I imagine. And I'm just wondering how they saw Jesus, because, you know, in the middle of a storm at four, well, it was the fourth watch of the night, so you have to say, well, 6 o'clock's the first watch, so he had 3 hours after that. Is that right? No, fourth watch of the night. 3 o'clock in the morning. 3 o'clock in the morning. Oh, 3 to 6, yep. So it's still dark, presumably. And unless it was a full moon, I don't think they would have seen Jesus at all. But then he was on the mountain praying, so perhaps he was sort of glowing with light as he walked across the water. I'm not sure. Anyway, they thought it was a ghost. And they're crying out in fear that some ghost is going to attack them. And Jesus says, "Courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. Courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." And I think often in our lives we need to hear those words of our Lord, because these storms can break in upon us very quickly and unexpectedly. Some of these storms are the situations we're caught up in. The global economic crisis could be a storm, couldn't it not? What's happening in the Australian economy could be a storm that's about to break in upon us. Or it may be something within our family that is like this storm breaking in upon us. And the thing about a storm is it overwhelms us. It catches us unawares and totally takes over our whole experience, so that all we see and all we experience is this massive storm. And we feel in the midst of that our own fragility, our own weakness, and our own powerlessness. Recently, I was talking to a young man down at Poatina, and he'd been is involved in Fusion Ministries. And he told me that he had been a young man on the streets in Sydney, homeless, a drug addict, and he'd been arrested. And the police had said to him, I'm not sure if the police or the magistrate, anyway, whoever was deciding what would happen to him said, we'll give you a choice. You can go to Long Bay Jail, because he was 17 years of age and nearly 18. By the time the sentence had passed, he would have been 18. Or you can go and join this community fusion. And they have a program to help young men like you. So he said, I think I'll choose fusion. Good choice. Yeah. And as part of the fusion program, I was very interested to hear this. He arrived at the fusion community and there was all these people there, Christians, who were welcoming him and making him feel at home. They said, would you like to go on a trip to Ayers Rock? He said, wow, that sounds good. Yeah, I'll be in that. And they took him with a group of other young people to Ayers Rock, or Uluru, we should call it Uluru. And he arrived there and he saw this, you know, the morning with the sun and the light, and he saw this amazing rock just rising out of the earth. And he realized his littleness. For the first time in his life, he realized he wasn't God after all, that there was something greater than him. And he had a profound experience of God through just encountering the majesty and wonder of God in his creation. And I think sometimes we need to have that awareness. Ironically, it's when we know our littleness that we'll really know the power of God. And sometimes I think the Lord allows things to overwhelm us so that we actually get the right perspective, that we realize how small and frail and weak we are, and we then cast ourselves utterly on the Lord. Lord, if you don't save me, I'm gone. And that's the situation Peter was in. Yes, he had taken this amazing step of faith. Well, I mean, he was the only one who stepped out of the boat. They could have all done it, I'm sure. Jesus wouldn't have had any problems with that. But Peter was the one who was willing to step out of the boat into the storm. And I think that really shows great courage, or foolhardiness, one of the two. But he was willing, in a sense, to risk everything. If he was going to follow Jesus, it was going to cost him everything. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to step out of our boat, even in the midst of a storm, and say, Jesus, call me to come to you? And Peter does that. And he begins to walk on the water towards Jesus, which must have been a quite mind-blowing experience. I can imagine his mind spinning at 100 miles an hour. Is this really happening? Like, am I really walking on water? This is awesome. Wow, you know. Aren't I cool? You know, think of all the people I can tell. I walked on water. Do, 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 do. And then, you know, of course, as he sort of got more and more caught up in the moment, he took his eyes off our Lord, and probably a wave splashed him in the face, and suddenly he jolted out of that and suddenly began to sink, because he had started to think there was something about Peter that was making all this happen rather than Jesus. And I know that often happens to me when I get my eyes off the Lord and think about my achievements or what I've done, rather than it's all his gift and grace. And of course, as soon as Peter begins to sink, he cries out, Lord, save me. Those beautiful words, Lord, save me. A cry that touches Jesus to the very core of his being. Because the name of Jesus means Yahweh saves. His very being is saying, I'm here to save you. You've said the words. You have said those precious, powerful words. Save me. Nothing can touch the heart of Jesus as powerfully as those words spoken from our heart. Save me, Lord. And I think within each of us, there are parts that are crying out, Lord, save me. Yes, we may seem to many to have everything together and everything's pretty cool and good and everything. But at other level, we know in our hearts there is sin, there is weakness, there is disorder, there are areas of bondage. And it's from those depths, not where we have it all together, but it's from the very depths where we know our desperate need that we can truly cry, Lord, save me. And Jesus will. He will reach down and lift us up. And that's what he wants to do for each of us this evening, if we will truly cry to him, Lord, save me. So let's just have a moment of prayer. I'm going to just talk a little bit more about something else, but I'd like not to lose this moment when we can really seek the Lord and ask him to touch our hearts as he touched that young man that I spoke to down at Poatina, who honestly, he was transformed. He was transformed. And now all he wanted to do was serve the Lord and help others. Dear Lord, as we listen to these words from the gospel this evening, you know our hearts, Lord, and you know our lives. You know the parts of us, Lord, that are in desperate need of you. And Lord, we do turn to you this evening and cry out to you from the depths of our spirit, from the depths of our hearts, Lord, save me. Lord, save me, Lord, from my unbelief, which so often clouds my mind and darkens my heart. Save me, Lord, from the lust that often consumes my thoughts and my mind and my attention. Save me, Lord, from the jealousy that takes hold of my heart, from the resentment, from bitterness. Save me, Lord, from my addictions. Save me, Lord, from my fears. Save me, Lord, from the areas where I'm held captive by sin. For you alone can save me.